you a fan of this podcast? Do you wish there was even more juicy content for you to sink your ears into? Well, there is. You can become a premium member of this podcast for $5.99 a month and get full access to an archive of over 50 bonus episodes. Additionally, we release a bonus episode every single month. That's a ton of extra content, including my personal interior design diaries, extra tips, my talking about trends, and so much more. Additionally, you'll be keeping us on the airwaves each and every week because your premium membership money goes directly back to making this podcast amazing. Check us out at affordableinteriordesign.com. Click on podcast to learn more and to become a premium member today.
Need a high-end designer or a lot of money to get a luxe look. Be your own interior designer.
This is Affordable Interior Design, the podcast.
Here's your host, Betsy Hellman.
Hello, I am so excited because this week I am going to a book conference called the Pitch and Publish Conference in Westport, where I am going to pitch my book, my proposal, to several agents, and hopefully they bite and take me on as a client because I am so excited about this book that I have been working a full year on. I had the vision for this book, which has evolved over the past 12 months, but you know, last February, I was saying to myself, I want to write my interior design diaries. I keep a diary since I was 7, sometimes more faithfully than others. I found as I've had kids and less private time, it's been less easy to keep this diary going. But certainly when I was in my heyday, starting my interior design firm, you know, working for famous celebrities, interning, taking my first clients, hiring my first people, all these really formative events, working at a Coyote Ugly style bar at night to fund my interior design firm during the day. I mean, there were so many misadventures. There were so many crazy stories that I haven't shared. For instance, all the details behind the scenes when I shot an HGTV pilot with my, at the time, total design mentor, crush, whatever you want to call it, from Trading Spaces. I got to work with my favorite designer on that show, and I got to be her design assistant. And let's just say things went marvelously awry, and I was not hired back when they ultimately shot the show. So that is a juicy tale right there. I'm excited to share that with you all, and I've been spilling the tea in this book that is not just there to, you know, be salacious and to give you behind the scenes of these sort of sordid tales, but it's also to kind of show how circuitous a path can be and to inspire people to follow their dreams. You know, so many times when I'm having these calls where people are interested in the academy and interested in becoming an interior designer, they don't want to go back to college. They already went to college for something that they found out they weren't passionate about. They'd always dreamed of being an interior designer, or they had this new dream of being an interior designer, but they really didn't know how to make money at it, or that you could make money at it. Or, you know, why would I be so lucky as to make money doing something I love? You know, especially something artistic. How is that really going to pan out for me? And with this book, I'm showing you how I did it. It is the long way around. It is the scenic route with these stories that I'm sharing with you right now. But I think those experiences have been particularly book-worthy, but also will inspire people to say, if she did all that to get here, I can take a more direct route. There is a way to sustain my life, to live the lifestyle I want, pursuing my passion. And so that's really what I hope it teaches people because, you know, I knew growing up, I didn't want to live like my mother had lived. She didn't have options. It was a different time. And people became teachers or secretaries, and she chose the secretarial path and did that for 40 plus years at a job that she didn't really enjoy with people who weren't always so respectful. And I saw the toll that that took. I saw how hard she had to work to like put food on the table and keep our home heated and the overtime and sleeping under her desk for a job she wasn't even necessarily passionate about. She deeply cared about her job. Was it tapping into her passions and abilities? No. Did she even like ask herself, what are my passions and abilities and how can I apply those to make money? No. It wasn't really an option then. So not only did I watch that and say, I want something different for myself, but also I live in a time now and a couple of decades ago when I started where you can forge a different path for yourself, where I'm lucky enough as a woman to be able to stand on the shoulders of those before me and say, I want to be an entrepreneur or I want to pursue art in a way that makes money and I can do it. And I'll figure it out. So I just feel fortunate for that path that I saw that my mother took, because I could say, I want a different path. And, you know, I hope that my daughter reading this book and seeing me and what I do every day will take an even straighter and bolder path to her next chapter, to her career. I hope that by standing on my shoulders and going through all these crazy hoops, that she can see and she has the opportunities to become something that she dreams of in a faster way. So anyway, I'm just excited to share that with you. And I'm hoping that these publishers are interested, because the bottom line is I'm going to spend a year trying to get an agent who will ultimately find me a publisher. And if I knock on a ton of doors and nobody is interested, I will self-publish. This is mostly done. I think it's a really interesting story with lots of twists and turns, many jaw-dropping moments. And I think it deserves to be told. So one way or the other, I'll get this book to you, but just send me good vibes for this conference this weekend, because I've been working really hard for a year with a writing coach, taking a couple of classes, listening to a podcast, The Shit No One Tells You About Writing. Such a good podcast, by the way. If you're interested in writing anything, I highly recommend listening. And I feel like in addition to interior design now, I can say that I'm kind of fashioning a career as a writer for myself. And I am enjoying it so much. And the more I write on this book and its 10 chapters, the more ideas I get for another book and sort of what its chapters might look like. Because I've worked for over 1,000 clients, well over 1,000. And that has translated to a lot of fascinating stories, many of which I'm not even going to share in this book. This book is more about my evolution as a designer and highlights certain clients in certain moments, but only a handful. And of course, I have many more stories to tell. All right. Well, let's get to your stories. Let's get to the burning questions that you've been sending in. Now, I have something special I'm going to do, because I get these really amazing queries in my premium membership as well. And I wanted to share those questions with you today, digging into my premium membership mailbag. They typically get first response in terms of being on my premium bonus episodes. But this quarter, I'm doing something a little bit different with my bonus episodes, which I'll be sharing with my premium members next month in April. I'm going to share something new. I'm taking a different path, but it's very exciting. So for right now, I'm going to take those premium member questions on the big forum. I'm really excited to read them to you. If you have questions, you don't have to become a premium member. Of course, I would love that, because it helps support the podcast. It keeps me on the air for as little as $5.99 a month. You are truly supporting this show and making it possible for me to continue to make it, but also you get access to a huge archive of bonus episodes that are exclusive only for my premium members. There's like nearly 100, so go nuts. And then of course, I'll be putting more out, as I mentioned, in April. So head on over to affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. Once again, that's affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. There you're going to see a link to submit a regular question, which I will answer, of course, on these shows. You'll see a link to support. Yes, to support our show through a premium membership. And there's also a button there to submit those questions. Those get fast tracked. And I spend a little bit more time on that in the bonus episode and really luxuriate in each question and all the imagery. All right. One last thing, one last bit of housekeeping before I plug right in is you're saying to yourself, Betsy, what about this imagery? First of all, what do you look like? Why are you still recording in your husband's office rather than your beautiful office out back? And more importantly, what are the images that these people writing in are sharing? I can visualize from your descriptions, Betsy, but I really want to see it for myself. So guys, if you want to see it for yourself, head over to our YouTube channel. There you're going to see the videos of this. So that's Uploft Interior Design. We have a YouTube where you can catch, you know, recordings of me recording this podcast. There you go. You can find out exactly what I look like. I'm always so surprised, like with the shit no one tells you about writing. I follow them all on Instagram and Facebook now. You can follow me at Uploft Interior Design, but I follow them all. And so it's so funny to like see what they look like and put the face to the voice. So maybe you're thinking, Betsy, I bet you're blonde. I bet you're tall and statuesque. I'm not like short, but anyway, I'm not blonde. And my hair color does regularly evolve. So even if you've seen me once, you might want to check it out again. I'm never the same person twice, guys, especially as I allow this little baby in my life. I'm changing my look, going super low maintenance. All right, without further ado, let's dig in. Tiffany has written me all the way from St. John's, Canada. And she is writing, Hi, Betsy, I love your show and I have a ton of questions, but I'm going to start with this one first. I have an open living dining room combo and I'm looking for rugs for both. What are the rules for mixing rugs? Should I do one neutral and one color, one pattern, one plain? I'm working out of province right now, so unable to take new photos. Here are a few from my camera roll to give you an idea of the L-shaped layout. Excuse the Christmas clutter and unfinished projects. LOL. Thank you for all that you do. First of all, I almost always look past the clutter. Second of all, the more pictures, the merrier. And third of all, thanks for writing in and thanks for supporting this podcast, Tiffany. I really appreciate it. It makes a huge difference to the show. Okay, so when I have two rooms that open into each other, or even if I just have one large room that needs multiple rugs, I definitely use different rugs. You don't want to use the same rug, whether it's just the same pattern in multiple shapes or sizes, because it's going to look like wall-to-wall carpeting that you just cut into pieces. So you definitely want to use different rugs, different styles. Not necessarily styles, but different like style numbers is what I'm referring to. Okay, so once you've made that determination, you've resolved that yes, you're going to do different rugs, then what you want to do is take that inspiration piece. Now, as you know, the inspiration piece could be an artwork, it could be drapes that have multiple colors. Oftentimes it is a rug. So if you have one rug that's your inspiration piece and it has more than three Roy G. Biv colors and it's got a pattern, you want to pull from that rug to select the next rug. Typically, I have one rug that's slightly busier and one rug that's less visually busy or whose pattern is more subdued or more regular. So for instance, if my inspiration piece rug is like a Persian style rug that has lots of different colors and kind of a big mandala pattern and just a lot going on, maybe my other rug that's adjacent to it will be something more simplistic. And maybe we'll just have a textural pattern with some kind of carving in the rug that makes the pile high and low, but looks like a visual texture. Or maybe it's going to be a geometric pattern, like a trellis or something like that, that will provide me with a pattern and some movement and will utilize one of the colors from the more busy rug, but is definitely different. Now, I have a really big challenge because in my living room, I have three rugs. And not only do I have three rugs, because that sounds like a challenge enough, but the room opens up into my husband's TV room, it opens up into our game room, and it opens up into my family room. That means I needed six rugs that were all different, but all shared the same color and vibe, right? They all needed to match my two-word phrase in terms of style and feel, but then they all needed to share a color palette. So I'll tell you how that shook down for me. The central rug in front of the fireplace in the middle of the living room is my inspiration piece for the whole room. It has purples, it has yellows, it has navies, it has creams, it has grays. It's all linear, in other words, very skinny stripes, with kind of a faded pattern in the background that's floral. It's really quite interesting. I think it was from Ralph Lauren, the Safavea purveyor does like a Lauren by Ralph Lauren line. Okay. So then I decided to pull one of those colors, one of my 60-30-10. In this case, it's my 60, which is a navy. I pulled a navy from that rug for the rug that's just adjacent to it. So the central rug is 10 by 14. The rug that's adjacent under the dining area in this formal living room is one from Chip and Joanna Gaines, Magnolia Home. And it's got the navy with a white. And it's like kind of a busy Persian style pattern, but only in those two tones. And it's got kind of that textural differentiation, like I was saying, some low pile, some high pile. So it's pulling that navy directly from the larger center rug and working with that kind of off-white as well. Then on the other side of the room, I needed a rug under the game table. Not because I really need a rug under there, but because it's quite a large room and I wanted to define this as a separate area. So I'm using an area rug, right? Or a separate zone. In this case, I didn't want the colors to get too busy because I have patterned drapes and I have an eggplant purple pair of chairs. So I wanted to do something that wouldn't be too overwhelming because I've got artwork in here, lots going on, right? But I needed it to be different than the other two rugs. So I picked a blue and cream rug, but instead of it being like that Persian style pattern, this is almost like stippled, like little dots that ultimately come together to form rows. So it's like these little pixelated rows of navy dots on a cream background. So overall, it majority reads cream, but my family is way too messy to have a cream rug. So we've got these stipples of navy, which really break it up and tie in with the rug on the other side of the room, which has that navy. And this is an 8-foot by 8-foot square. So each rug is not only a different pattern, all associating back to that color palette of the central rug, but also they're a different size. Now you're saying, Betsy, what did you do in those other two rooms? Well, that's a great question. In my husband's movie room, he spills a lot and my kids go in there with their friends and they play video games. It's just a highly trafficked room. So I found a rug that had the exact same colors as that center rug. It has the deep purples. It has the golden yellows. It has the eggplant. It has the gray, the cream. I managed to find it at Macy's. I mean, it was a lot of searching. I spent a lot of time looking for just the right thing. And I put that in there. And then you're saying, Betsy, what about in the game room? I cheated, guys. Finding six rugs that all go together without being matchy-matchy is exhausting. And it's not for the faint of heart. I needed to find a rug quickly because we were getting a used pool table delivered. And once you put a pool table down, you can like never lift it back up. At least not without spending a lot of money. So I needed to make a rug choice quickly. I wound up getting a second one of the rugs that's in my husband's TV room. These rooms are the two furthest apart, so you can't see one rug at the same time as you see the other in this particular room, unlike the living room, which is that central hub. So I felt like it was okay to cheat and kept that floor cohesive. And then in the family room that's right off the living room, I did a very similar blue and cream, also a Chip and Joanna Gaines, to keep the same navy color because these two rugs are relatively close together. But I did something with a different pattern. So it really feels quite different, even though it's working with the exact same color palette. So that's how I kind of made that work out. It's complicated, and this is certainly much more complicated than your situation. But stick with that inspiration piece. Work with the same colors, ideally go for different sizes, and define the areas with these rugs so that you're seeing different zones within this open concept room. It's complicated, Tiffany, but you're a premium member. I know you can handle it. And now it's time for a quick commercial break. Do you love this podcast? Do you wish you could learn even more? Well, we have an online class bundle. Our online class bundle is comprised of three online classes: Beautifying Your Home for Less, Styling Your Home, and the Fundamentals of Feng Shui. Each one of those three classes is between 30 and 45 minutes long and chock filled with visuals and tips, things that will help you to style your own space or help out with other spaces. Additionally, with the pack of three classes, you get an autographed copy of my book, Affordable Interior Design. You get all of that for only $99. Once again, that's the three online classes as well as the book for only $99. You just go to affordableinteriordesign.com/classes. Once again, affordableinteriordesign.com/classes to buy your bundle today. And if one of those classes sounded intriguing, but maybe you already have my book or some of the other topics are not of interest, you can buy the classes individually at that site as well. Each class is $40. So head over to affordableinteriordesign.com/classes to get your bundle or your online class today. Before I move on to my next question, for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see that I'm joined by a tiny guest, a tiny beautiful guest who just woke up from her nap. She's still in her swaddle. This is Mira, my baby. And some of you are saying, Betsy, it's very unprofessional to have your baby on the podcast. But I want to tell you something, guys. I just did career day a few weeks back at my kids' middle school, and I had to get a sitter for like the third, maybe fourth time ever, right? My neighbor helped me out. She came to sit. But I thought to myself, you know, why am I getting a sitter? I need to strap this baby on in a carrier, and I need to show these kids what it's really like to be a parent, a mom who's working, who's taking care of her kids, who's growing her family, who's podcasting, who's got all these dimensions. And how can you make it work? How are there times when sometimes you got to bring your kid to work? Or sometimes, you know, how do you juggle those different aspects? And I must say, the baby has kept me from podcasting for a long time. It's true, baby, you have, because she's noisy and I can't be with her and be recording. I am going to do that today to wrap up this episode. And she woke up a little early from her nap, and that's okay. But, you know, it's something for you guys to hear too, that in order to have it all, be a mom who works and has these other dimensions in her life, sometimes you got to go with the flow, and sometimes it's even more beautiful to bring your kids. You know, I mentioned on an episode that I used to sleep under my mom's desk, right? And that watching her work paved the way for me to work and be such a hard worker, but maybe in a different way. And so I want to model that for my children. They can have kids and make it work, whether it's my son or my daughter. Everyone needs to see that this is possible. So hi, Mijo. Say hi to Affordable Interior Design. Okay, let me answer the last question with Mira's help, and then I'll sign off for the day. So my next question comes from Boise, Idaho, and Tamara's writing, "Hi, Betsy, this is Tamara from Idaho. You've previously answered some of my questions, bless you, about designing our dream home, which was so helpful. Unfortunately, circumstances have delayed our build. As a result, I'm refreshing our current space with new rugs, window treatments, and pillows. My inspiration piece is a very large, energetic painting with lots of color. I still like my existing palette, 60% gold, 30% muted red, and 10% blue, but I am considering toning it down a little bit for a more sophisticated take. Is it okay to use more subtle shades for my inspiration artwork for the rug and the curtains? Also, what about mixing styles? Can I use an Oriental or Persian style rug along with the impressionistic artwork? Of course, I also welcome any other thoughts you want to throw out. Thanks a million. I listen to lots of podcasts, and yours is definitely one of my favorites." Well, Tamara, as a podcast listener who is voracious as well, I really take that to heart and appreciate the fact that I'm one of your favorites, because I certainly have my favorites, the ones I wait for that drop every week, and I'm so excited. So to be that for somebody else is really a true compliment and a treat. So thank you. And yes, I remember your home, because this painting is so vibrant and so energetic. It's like an abstract of these white horses that are running through this kind of background of many colors, greens, golden, yellows, burgundies, brighter reds, and then this kind of cobalt blue. So it's got a lot of movement, it's very dynamic, very colorful, and there are so many tones to choose from. Now, I will tell you that when you said it's too energetic, I feel like there's just like a lot going on and I want to tone it down. Part of the reason that it's so energetic is your color theory. So according to color theory, you are using the three primary colors. Even though you're using different shades of them, you're using yellow, red, and blue. Those three colors from which all other colors are derived. And when you use those three colors, they're very energetic. They have a lot of intrinsic, energy, just to use a belabored word. So all that energy is translating to a more frenetic, potentially chaotic, or busy vibe. Now, the room itself does not seem particularly busy to me, and it doesn't sound like you want to change out the rug, which does have those russet reds and those warm sunflower yellows. Instead of changing the hue, changing the color, I might go for a blue, but a navy. The exciting thing about this inspiration piece is that it's got so many colors that you could truly pick almost anything besides maybe purple and not go astray. Doesn't look like there's much teal in there either. Okay, so no purples, no teals, but I think doing a navy would really help to tone down. I think that having that cool color against these warm, like pale wheat kind of walls that are reading to me a little bit yellow will really help to diffuse that warmth and make this room feel a little bit more sophisticated. The other thing that's bothering me about this room is the leopard armchairs. They seem to come out of left field. I think that pattern is making me question what the style words are or what the feeling words are. So, you know, whenever a room is feeling a little disjointed or incohesive, is that a word? Uncohesive, not cohesive. I'm asking myself, are they truly embodying their two-word phrase or have they even come up with one? In this case, I wonder if you've come up with one. And I wonder how you're wedging in this leopard print if you have. So that would be a question I have for you, because I think international's coming across with the trunk, coming across with the sculptural wall art in the shape of a map. You've got a globe. You're using this black metal finish, which to me can read very international and world-esque. But then I'm like, where are we getting leopard print? Because certainly that is a part of the world, but what's going on? And then we have a skin of some type of animal laid over the trunk style coffee table. And again, I'm wondering what's the vibe, right? What are we going for here? With the animal imagery in the artwork, the animal skin on the coffee table and the leopard print, you know, are we a day at the zoo? Because is that the most sophisticated choice? So for me, it's not about the colors that you're using. It's more about the overall inspiration and the overall style and feeling word. Tamara, go back to that. You could always write me back and reply to my question about exactly what you're going for here. But for me, using a deeper shade for that blue and getting really clear about what patterns and imagery you bring in here are going to be key to up-leveling this room and making it sophisticated. Guys, Tiny Mijo, that's my nickname for her because her name's Mira Josephine. Tiny Mijo is ready to get out of her swaddle. She's ready for some milk. She's ready for some mommy playtime after her good nap. And I am ready to go cuddle her. Work-life balance, people. Thank you for joining me, and I'll be seeing you again next week. And Tamara and Stephanie, thank you so much for being supporters with your premium membership. It means a lot. And guys, if you're curious about being a premium member and helping us to keep this podcast on the airwaves week after week for almost 10 years now, oh my gosh, then all you'll want to do is head over to affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. Once again, affordableinteriordesign.com/podcast. And you're going to see the premium member button there. Just click it to join, and I'll be so excited to have you. All right, guys, until next week. Bye. You've asked for it, and we have answered the call. For years, you've been saying, Betsy,
You're talking about all these great design concepts, but we can't visualize them. You're describing the picture that the listener sent in of their problem, and we wish we could see that picture too. After all, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and I do my best to describe them, but there's nothing like seeing it for yourself. And that's why Affordable Interior Design, the podcast, now has a YouTube channel. Not only do we have a YouTube channel where you could see recordings and clips of these podcast episodes, we also have an Instagram, a Facebook, and so many other exciting things. You should check it out. Head over to affordableinteriordesign.com/links. Once again, affordableinteriordesign.com/LINKS. Links. And when you go there, you will see links to our YouTube page, our Instagram page, our Facebook page, and more. Please check it out, follow, and subscribe so you can see everything I'm talking about. A big thank you to our amazing producer, Catherine Heller, to Eitan and the MBCR House Band, and to Affordable Interior Design, the sponsor of this podcast and the premier place to get an amazing look on a budget. Check out affordableinteriordesign.com. If you guys love the show, the very best way to support us is by spreading the word. Tell your friends or write us an awesome review on iTunes. So until next week, guys, thanks so much for joining us, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.